Good morning to each one of you. Greetings in Jesus' name. I've been blessed this morning already being here. Thank you, young people, for that song. The song always is very inspiring to me, just a cry for faithful men. And always, when that song sings, I don't know why, but there's always seems like chills go up and down my back. It's a call for faithful men. And also thank you, Brother Justin, for sharing what you shared there. In light of eternity, when you're past and gone, what do you want to be remembered by? When people mention your name, what will they think? You know, there's a day coming, take Elon Musk, he's going to be off this earth. But what are people going to think when they think his name? One of the wealthiest men. What do people think when they think of Fanny Crosby? Hymn writer, right? What do people think when they think of John Wesley? They think of a preacher. You know, that's where people's minds go to when you mention names. What are people going to think when the name Donald Trump gets mentioned? They're automatically going to go businessman and president. But we also, after we're gone, we're going to be remembered by something. You take Denny Keniston. What do you think of when you think of his name? Godly home. We sang that song, Christian Home. And so each one of us will be remembered by something. And so it's up to us what we want to be remembered by. Do we want to be remembered by from a spiritual aspect, like some of the names I already mentioned, Fanny Crosby, John Wesley, Denny Keniston, or do we want to be remembered by the worldly aspect? So what will your obituary say when you pass on? What will you be remembered by? And also, thank you, Kenneth, for that exhortation to the children. So I've been richly blessed again this morning. I know last time I shared, I'd mentioned I'd like to do a little series, but for some reason the Lord hasn't given me peace. So this morning I'm going to share with what the Lord has given me peace with. So I apologize for that. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 10. And I'm going to read the first 10 verses. 1 Kings chapter 10. Before we do that, I would like to have a word of prayer. If you'd like to, you may rise to stretch yourselves. And let's pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, this morning again we thank you and we bless you and praise you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, you have given us the breath of life again. We see another day, Lord, and we have this day to serve you. We have this day to make choices that are either good or bad. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us make choices that bring glory and honor to your name. Help us, Lord, to present our bodies today to you, a living sacrifice, that we may be used however you desire to use us, Father. And Lord, help us to walk in your will. Help us to discern your will, that we may know how to walk in your will. I do pray, Lord, that you would take your word at this time and that you would just minister to our hearts today, Lord, that you would give your word life, that you would quicken it, Lord, that it would go down through these pews and minister life to every heart and soul, young child, even unto the oldest adult. Father, we just commit this day to you, and I just pray that you would use me as a vessel to preach your word. We commit this day into your hand and ask that you would, your presence would continue to be here in our midst today, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stone. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very great store, and precious stone. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And so this is an Old Testament account that took place in the days of Solomon. And Jesus Christ makes reference to this account in the New Testament. So if you would have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, verse 42. And I'm going to read verse 42. "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Why is this lady mentioned in the New Testament? Why is Jesus lifting her up? Jesus here has some good things to say about her. He commends her and lifted her up as an example in the New Testament. And so today, I would like to pull out some of these examples that Jesus could have possibly be referring to and make application to our own hearts and to challenge our hearts. Where is your heart in comparison to the Queen of Sheba's heart? And so I have several different points here that I would like to take out of this account. And then we can examine our own hearts and be challenged and encouraged today. That's my heart. So with that, I'm going to turn back to 1 Kings chapter 10. And we'll just start right in there with the first point. In verse 1, it says, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions." The first thing that happened here, she heard. She heard things that were going on. She heard everything that was happening there in Jerusalem or wherever Solomon was built his temple. She heard things that were hard for her eyes and mind to grasp around. She heard things that were unfathomable. She heard things that were just, as we would say it today, hard to believe. They're hard to believe. I just can't grasp my mind around it. And so she heard. And so this is the first point, that how is our hearing compared to the hearing that the Queen of Sheba had. I want you to notice she heard things concerning the name of the Lord. She heard things there concerning the name of the Lord. Back in the Old Testament there, God's name was glorified because people heard what God did among his people. And I believe that that is still God's heart today. If you go to Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says this in verse 8, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. They were hearing of their faith. Is our hearing such in tune with God that we are walking in his will, that our obedience is coming abroad and others are hearing about it and it's attractive and drawing people to Jesus Christ like it drew the Queen of Sheba to Solomon? Is our hearing in tune with God? You know, the Lord was getting honor through the fame of Solomon, and people were saying that he's getting his wisdom from the Lord. And so she's hearing all these marvelous and wonderful things that the Lord is doing through King Solomon. And so her hearing all these things propelled her into action. So the question is, how is your hearing? Are your ears tuned to the Lord Jesus Christ when you hear his word preached, when you read his word? Does your hearing move you to action like it did the Queen of Sheba? You know, Solomon was the wisest person that ever walked this face of this earth outside of Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus says, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Today, you and I have someone greater here than Jesus Christ. He's here in our midst today. He's greater. Behold, how are we listening to him? A man with more wisdom, a man with more power. Jesus Christ has more wisdom. He has more power. 14 times in the four Gospels, the scripture is exhorting us to hear the Lord Jesus Christ, and 3 times in the epistles. So 19 times in all. As you read through the New Testament, you'll hear this exhortation, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And there was and one of these exhortations was a voice straight out of heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Just give you a few. Mark 4:9. Jesus saith unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 4:23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Luke 9, verse 43 and 44, Jesus told his disciples, let these sayings sink deep down into your ears, he says. And so the Queen of Sheba let what she heard sink deep down into her ears. And when the word of God sinks deep down into our ears, it's going to reach my heart. And it's going to reach your heart. But if we're just going to let it go in one ear and out the other one, it's not going to reach our heart. It's not going to change our lives. But if we let them sink deep down into our ears, like Jesus says, it's going to change my heart. It's going to do something to me. Mark 4:24 says, take heed what ye hear with... what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. We have an example in 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, we'd like to turn to there. Paul has a warning here. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. He says this here, but for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And we have the account also in Acts chapter 7, verse 57, where Stephen there is preaching to the Pharisees, and it says that they stopped their ears. We don't want to hear it no more. They stopped their ears. And so, and we turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, Jesus says, some are dull of hearing. And so the scripture says, in the last days, there are going to be perilous times, and we see that in our time where many people profess Christianity, yet the fruit is missing. They have become dull of hearing. They don't want to let the sayings of Jesus sink down into their ears, but have turned their ears to fables that let them please their flesh. And so my question is, will the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, will she rise up in the judgment and condemn you for your hearing? You know, we look at our passage in Matthew chapter 12, verse 42, again. There Jesus, he says that she will rise up in this generation and condemn. And so that's, Jesus lifts her up. It says she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And Jesus says, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. There, in our midst today, we think of Solomon and all his fame and glory that have been great and marvelous to see and to hear his wisdom. But Jesus says there's a greater here. He's here among us today. There's a greater one here. What will we do with our hearing to his wisdom? In our midst today, picture Solomon and all his fame and glory that there's a greater one here. Jesus says, behold, a greater one than Solomon is here. And so, faith cometh by hearing, the Bible says. The scripture says in Romans chapter 10, so faith cometh by hearing. And so, how is your hearing? And it starts all by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. It all starts by our hearing. How is our hearing today? How is it in comparison to the Queen of the South? Is our hearing in tune with a holy, holy God? And once our hearing is in the right place, it brings us to the next application. Once she heard it, it caused her to start to hunger and thirst. Notice in verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 10, it says, she came to prove him with hard questions. She immediately, it caused her to do something. She was hungering and thirsting. When we hunger and thirst, she had questions she needed answer to. She heard it, and it caused her to hunger and thirst for answers to her questions. It doesn't say what her questions were. I remember personally first hearing things about the new birth and salvation, having questions. And it caused me to hunger and thirst. I needed answers to my questions. And it drove me to the Word of God. It drove me to seek the wisdom of God and to understand it. And once we are hearing and they're sinking deep into our hearts, it's going to cause me to start hunger and thirst to have my questions answered. And we need to go to the Word of God to have our questions answered. It's a good sign when people start to have questions. And it's also, you know, good to, if you have questions, to go to older people who have walked with Christ and have wisdom. We live in a time where people think they have all the answers rather than asking questions. It's good to ask questions. Ask older people questions about their walk with God and how to walk and so on. Luke chapter 2, verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking questions. Brother Kenneth already read that verse. What was Jesus doing? He says he is both hearing and then asking questions. He was asking older people questions. Matthew 5, 8, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. How is your hungering and thirsting today for righteousness, for God, and for His will? Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. It's Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And He desires that you would thirst and hunger after Him. The Queen of Sheba, she was hungering and thirsting after Solomon's wisdom. How is your hungering and thirsting after Jesus Christ in comparison to hers? Or will she rise up in the day of judgment and condemn your hungering and thirsting? And moving on to the third application, once she heard and hungering and thirsting, that led into seeking the wisdom because she needed actions. Here's where the action starts. You know, our faith cannot just lie dormant. It propels you into action. It propels you into to doing, to walk in the will. And so she heard, she hungered and thirst, and it propelled her into action. She needed answers. She wanted to meet Him. And once we get that hunger and thirst and we hear, you know, we want to meet our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to know Him. We want to know more about Him. We want to understand His will. We want to understand His wisdom. And so, and she wanted to be in His presence. And so I am amazed at the effort that she went into to seeking to have her questions answered. If we read here in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 2 here, we'll just take a little look at some of her efforts and things that she went through into having her questions answered, because she was that hungry and thirsty for to meet and to understand the wisdom of Solomon. And I will just, as we go through this, I want you to ask your own heart, is my heart in such a place as hers was that you would be willing to go through all this effort to find answers to your questions? Verse 2, and she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, very much gold, precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And I'm going to jump down to verse 10 here. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and spices, very great store and precious stone. And there came no more such abundance of spices as these with the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And so here we see here, it says the very first thing, she came with a very great train. And if you look that up, it simply says army, troops, forces. You think about it. She needed, she had her security detail, you know. She had soldiers to protect her. She had people to cook for her. She and the list goes on. It's a very, if you look up the account in 2 Chronicles, it says a very great company. And if you just figure 120 talents of gold, I looked that up and it come around to about 7 ton of gold. And it says that camels, they can carry somewhere between 400 to 600 pounds. And if I figure 500 pounds per camel, that comes out to 28 camels just to carry the gold. And then it says spices, very great store. And that means more and more. It says here that there, basically, there was no more such abundance of spices as these. There was, I don't know if anybody ever saw such great abundance of spices. And so we will just figure 20 camels for the spices. And verse 2, it says, precious stones, jewels, and you name all the stones, you know, that we read of in Revelations. We'll just figure 10 camels for that. That takes it up, that makes it already up to 58 camels. And it doesn't even tell you of all the food supply that they needed to carry along. And it says, Jesus says she came from the uttermost parts of the earth. And nobody really knows, but they, but from what they speculate, that she had to travel a very long ways through the Arabian desert. And it was no easy journey. And they say they would take up to 3 months at least to make this journey. And so picture taking 3 months of food supply along through the desert. And so you have all these, you have all these camels, you have these people to take care of the camels, you have the cooks, you have the soldiers, you have all these people, a very great train, possibly a couple hundred soldiers for her security detail. But this was her effort because she wanted to seek the wisdom of Solomon. Are you willing to know the wisdom of Jesus Christ in such a way that you're willing to give your all to seek him and know him in that way? And so some sources say she traveled around 1,400 miles. And so you have to have servants to set up camp each night, cook meals for everyone. So you have probably a couple hundred people and a couple hundred camels and everything else that goes with it. The scripture says a very great train. All this for one person's hungering and thirsting and seeking for the wisdom of Solomon to find answers. All of that. One person. Just for one person. She didn't let obstacles hinder her. And Jesus commends her for it. Are you seeking and desperate enough to hear from God that you are willing to go through all this to get answers to your spiritual needs? Bouncing along on the back of a camel for months in the desert heat. And Jesus commends her for it. And he challenges us by it. The challenge gives us is, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. There's more wisdom. There's more knowledge. There's eternal life. There's life evermore. What is your seeking look like in comparison to the Queen of Sheba? Will she rise up in the judgment and condemn your seeking of the wisdom of Jesus Christ? Colossians 2:3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There's so much hidden in here that when you find a gem, it blesses you. There's so much hidden in there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I don't know where each one of you are at today, but here we read that God has hidden wisdom. And it says that the people, the princes of this world, if they would have known what was going to happen to Jesus Christ at his crucifixion and at his resurrection, they would have never crucified him. And today, each one of us, I believe if we could truly get a glimpse into the wisdom that is hidden from us, it would dramatically change our life, that we could not continue to be the same person that we are today. We would let off of those foolish things that we hang on to. We would gladly let them go. We would gladly embrace the wisdom of Jesus Christ. It would not be even an issue to say no to the flesh, to, as Brother Justin shared, to bring let death come upon your flesh. If we would truly understand the wisdom of God and the wisdom of Jesus Christ that is here. And so, so I just encourage you today to seek the wisdom of God that's hid in this book. It'd be easy for you to let go of your social media. And many people tend to find their answers on Google and social media today versus from Jesus Christ. It'd be easy if you would be able to get a glimpse of the wisdom that is hidden here. It would be easy to let go. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 and 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof go and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Here this verse just illustrates what I just shared. It'd be easy if you would truly see it as a treasure hid in a field. When you found it, you would easily sell out. You would, for joy, you wouldn't hang on to it. But our problem so often is we try to have a foot in both kingdoms and not selling out completely, hanging on, trying to have a foot in both worlds, and it's not going to work. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, he found the wisdom of Jesus Christ. He sold everything he had, hanging on to nothing. I heard this illustration one time. Desert land, who wants to own it? Bare, dry, nothing grows. It didn't have any value. Nobody wanted it until they found oil underneath. Then everybody wanted it. They had to search for it. They had to find the value of desert land. A lot of your oil comes from desert lands. They drill down and they found out there's oil underneath desert. And it was worthless wasteland until they found the hidden treasure. And in the same way, Jesus Christ is a hidden treasure. He's just not going to pop into your lap. It's going to take some seeking. It's going to take some hungering and thirsting. It says, whosoever will may come. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. The world is set up with things we can see with the natural eyes, and that keeps mankind from seeking the kingdom of God like the Queen of Sheba did. But if we could see the hidden value of the kingdom of God through the eye of faith, then it will cause us to seek Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please God, for they that come to him must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So she went to this great length to seek the wisdom of God. And how does your heart and life compare with her effort when you think of everything she went through there? Jesus says, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Will she rise up in judgment and condemn your seeking of the wisdom of Christ? And then back to 1 Kings there, our text. In verse 2, it says, She communed with him all that was in her heart. She emptied herself out. There was nothing left. She exposed everything who she was. She communed with, holding nothing back. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. She communed everything. She held nothing back. And so, if we're going to seek him and come to him, we need to commune with him. All that is in our heart, holding nothing back. Our heart is an open book to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I just want to encourage you, hold nothing back. And also, she left her world to get the answer. She left everything she was comfortable with because she sold out for joy. She realized the value. The next thing that happened, she was seeking and God answers in verse 2 and 3. The King Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And verse 5 says this. And the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She came to the end of herself. And so she totally came to the end of herself, and she just says there was no more spirit in her. And so if someone greater than King Solomon is here, how much more and quicker should you and I come to the end of ourselves and give to the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ? And we jump down to verse 10. She came to the end of herself, and it says, and she gave the king. She gave to the king. You know, our King Jesus, the King Jesus is not asking for gold and spices and precious stones, but your life for his service. Not to please you, but to please him. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You know, he's not looking for spices and precious stone and gold. Peter said in Acts, silver and gold have I none. But he gave to God what he had. He gave his life. He gave his body. And the only gift that Jesus Christ is asking from you is your body. You don't need 100 camels to carry your gift to the Lord Jesus Christ. All he's asking is your body, yourself. Your body is holy. It's an acceptable gift to God that can be used. Sometimes as I'm out preaching against sin, I hear this statement, it's my body. I can do with my body what I want to do. And, you know, that's the opposite of what the Lord wants, especially people who promote abortion. It's my body. I can do what I want. But it's not my body. The Bible says we are to present our body a living sacrifice, which is a reasonable service. It's the only thing that we have to offer to God, our life, our body, for his service, for his purpose. My life, my body is not to use my little kingdom on this earth. Life is not about me. It's not building my bank account, my investments. When Jesus Christ and the Word of God is crying, give me your body. I've worked for you in my kingdom. Souls are going to hell. There are souls to be discipled. The Queen of Sheba came. She saw the wisdom of Solomon and she gave. And so will she rise up in the day of judgment and condemn your giving of yourself in the kingdom of God. So I just encourage you today to give of yourself. The next one we read here in there was rest in the presence of Solomon. Verse 8. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. You know, with the hearing, hungering and thirsting, giving of yourselves to the Lord, to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a rest that comes. There's a rest in your heart. And we see that in the presence of Solomon there, his servants were happy. There was rest there. There was no want there. There was no need there. All their wants were supplied. All their needs were taken care of. And so there was a rest there. Matthew, I just read that in verse 8 there of chapter 10. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 encapsulates this rest. He says that, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That verse encapsulates when we are in the presence of the Lord, like Solomon's servant, there's rest. Our needs are taken care of. We heard about trials. They came, the trials come, but we're resting through those trials. By faith, we're looking to Jesus Christ. Psalm 16:11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And we see that happening here in verse 8. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee. And I want you to notice here, the key here, they were standing continually in the presence of the King. And Jesus Christ has made it that you and I can stand continually in his presence by faith. And there's fullness of joy and there's pleasure. But the key is to stand continually before Jesus Christ and hear his wisdom. Or is your mind even now elsewhere? What do I have to do next week is on my mind versus enjoying the presence of the Lord. Can't wait till the service is over so I can play with my friends. You know, that's not dwelling in the presence of the Lord. We need to dwell in the presence of the Lord. John chapter 15. Verses 9 through 11, Jesus is encouraging us to be in the presence of the Lord. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And so, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And so, Jesus' desire is that we stand continually in his presence like Solomon's servants did and have rest in our soul. Peter says this, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though ye now see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so these servants, they were happy. She saw this because they were in King Solomon's presence. And so can people tell you, can look at you and see that you are at rest, see that you are a man or a woman of God, because you are at rest. Can they tell that you are dwelling in the presence of Jesus Christ? And that's what I want to leave you all with here, is dwelling in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, dwelling in his presence. Do we really know what that is like? Can people tell when they come into our home that our home, we are dwelling in the presence of the Lord? Can people tell when they come in to this body, this congregation, that the presence of the Lord is here? It should, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23, it says, if therefore the whole church be come together unto one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned and or unbelieving, will they not say that you are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down upon his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. So here, the Apostle Paul is saying that if an unbeliever, an unlearned, comes into our presence, that the presence of God should be here like it was in Solomon's, like Queen of Sheba did. She fell down, or I don't know if she fell down, but she testified that the presence of the Lord was here. And the Apostle Paul says that should even be happening here today among believers, that when an unbeliever walks in, they fall on their face and worship God because they see the presence of God is here. And it's powerful. And so I just want to encourage us today, is the presence, can the unbeliever today walk in and see the presence of God like the Queen of Sheba did in Solomon's day? And so, let's present our bodies a living sacrifice. You know, I don't want you to encourage you to, you know, physically, the Queen of Sheba, she took, she went through great effort. She started hearing. She wasn't dull of hearing. She started hungering, thirsting. If you hunger and thirst and aren't dull of hearing, you will be filled. Start seeking, seek and you shall find. Give your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, and hear his wisdom. And Psalm 16 says, in his presence you will find fullness of joy, and at his right hand pleasures forevermore. And so I'm going to close again by just reading the woman that Jesus Christ lifted up in Matthew chapter 12 as an example for us. He says this, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And so I just like the title of the message, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And what will you do with him? Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And she went to great lengths. I'm sure you could add much more to what the possibilities that she went through, but that's just a few. As you think of, you know, if we're going to travel 1,400 miles today, most of us have AC or jump in an airplane and we're there in less than a day or two. But that wasn't the case with her. She went through great extent to seek the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. He's here today. Seek him. God bless you all.